Oh, wait, I'm not ready to start. Hang on. Hang on.
Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, those blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so if you haven't, you haven't checked one out in a while, swing on over there. They're right there. You can catch up, so that would be a plus. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link. Get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Of course, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three
E's. Oh, so Dan, I guess everything is well here again in Chicago because the Bears managed to beat a team early who had their backup quarterback in the game.
Wait, I thought Biskey was in there.
No, the other team. So the Lions had to play their backup quarterback pretty much last minute because Matthew Stafford it was kind of a strange situation, the whole thing. They were talking about he has fractures or broken bones in his mouth. And I just didn't understand how you miss that, not only as a person, but as a team. So he was a late last minute scratch. So they had to run the backup out there, who didn't play terribly, but obviously, you got a backup quarterback, and it makes a whole bit of difference. And the Bears somehow managed to hang on and win by 7 points. So I assume everybody is. I didn't listen to much of the post game stuff, or I hate the stuff today, so I didn't want to listen to everybody gloat about them, winning a game against this guy. But I kind of just assume that everybody is happy and thrilled that this happened, and they'll move on with their lives.
I don't know. Everyone loves them again, so it's gonna be a love hate love relationship.
Yeah. Well, they also had one of those odd things. This off season. They got rid of Jordan Howard, who was, their best actual running back, but he didn't really fit into the Matt Nagy system because he's not a great pass receiver. So they moved him along, and then they went and spent the draft pick on David Montgomery. But what they also did to fix the running game was they signed Mike Davis from Seattle, very similar running style to Jordan Howard, but a little better pass receiver. Now, oddly, when they traded for him, it was kind of a conditional type of draft pick, depending on how much he played. And the conditions were just about to bump up, so they would have to give off a higher draft pick. So the Bears cut him on Saturday, so they wouldn't have to give up the draft pick. They weren't using him much anyway, so it's not like it was a gigantic issue. He had played 7 games and ran the ball 11 times and caught 7 passes. So he wasn't quite a huge part of the offense that I think they had expected him to be or thought this was going to be, but you can't do anything if the coach doesn't put you on the field. So it's not his, not his issue. But I thought it was kind of funny. Do you think they just cut him to duck having to give up the extra draft pick?
Oh, definitely.
So, you know, now I don't know if there's, you know, anything the NFL can do if they look into it or anything. But, yeah, I thought it was interesting. And he was picked up today. Carolina just picked him up off waivers. So we'll see if he gets any playing time there. Let's see, do they have the actual trade here? Oh no, the compensation was because they signed him as a free agent. So he was signed to a 2-year, $6 million deal, and they got 7 games out of him. So... But yeah, I guess that's just how you you avoid things in the NFL. You just cut the guys.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, you know, and then you know, I know, you know, more of the fun stuff. You know, if you're into it, and Dan and I can actually say Redskins. I know every other show I've heard have called them the Washington team, but they actually still are the Redskins, believe it or not. Yeah. They everybody, well, you know, most of it was because I think most of the things I watched was on the Mickey Mouse Network today, and they say the Washington team, or they actually go so far as to call them the Washington football team. So it's kind of humorous. But they've decided that Dwayne Haskins will be their starting quarterback for the rest of the year. So if you're, you know, you got him in a fantasy league or whatever you're doing, you should be relative. Well, I don't know if you're going to be relatively safe because I don't know how well he's going to do, but you know he's going to be your guy. So you know I don't know how excited anybody is about that at this point of the season, but you know it's still important to at least have a guy. You know, even though one of my quarterbacks got negative points yesterday. So that's always a little frightening.
Well, at least it wasn't against me.
I think I'm actually going to beat you this time, right? I know you beat me last week in one of the leagues, but it looks like I'm going to beat you this week in the other leagues.
No, you're not just going to beat me. You're going to kill me.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good.
And the best part is you helped give me a quarterback to play against you.
So.
But you know what was really annoying?
Yeah, well,
the fact that I just – you wanted – what's his name? Kyle Rudolph. And
yeah, you know the funny part about that? I didn't start him. So, yeah. Luckily, that team is still going to win. I think I'm playing a dead team in that league, so I'm okay there. But yeah, Rudolph had a, you know, two. It was weird because he only had 14 yards in receptions. But he had 2 touchdowns and then a 2-point conversion. So he ended up going for a little over 18 points. My tight end went for 12, you know, a little over 12. So he had a solid day as well. But yeah, it was just kind of funny when he caught the first touchdown pass. I looked at the cat because the cat is the only one who talks to me where I live. And I said, damn it, I didn't start it. So.
Well, you know, that was the first highlight I saw yesterday, and I was like, damn it.
Well, you know, the first catch he made was, I don't know if you probably saw that, one-handed in the back of the end zone was just fantastic. And I was kind of like, wow.
I was watching it. That's where, yeah.
Yeah. Nice catch.
Well, because, you know, I was sitting there watching it going, no, that other foot wasn't down.
Yeah. So
I was like, yeah, no, that right foot looked like it wasn't the same.
But, yeah, well, you know, and that was the other funny thing. You know, obviously I missed the end of that game, you know, for obvious reasons. Those things run a little late for me, and, you know, I can't, you know, with my work schedule, I obviously can't stay up that late. But, yeah, they were just ripping the Cowboys today because of the play calling, and they were like, yeah, I don't understand why they, you know, they just didn't let Dak Prescott throw the football and, you know, this and that. And all I kept thinking is they have the best running back in football. And people are upset that they gave him the ball. So, yeah, I don't kind of get that one. It's like, hey, yeah, we've got this guy who's great, but I don't want you to give him the football. Just keep throwing it regardless. Even if they know we're going to throw it, just continue to throw it, and we won't worry about it. So, yeah, I don't understand the – you know, the reasoning with some of this, it's like, really? You know, because, that, well, you know, then, of course, if he would have struggled, it would have been, well, God, I can't believe they didn't give the ball to Elliott. And, it, you know, it's almost like they just set up their comments to make sure they have something to complain about either way because, you know, Prescott's nowhere near, he's probably not even a top 10, maybe not even a top 15 quarterback. But Elliott is right there as the best running back. I mean, if he's not the best, you know, he's probably number two. And they don't want to give him the football. So, yeah, I just, you know, can you explain that? Can you explain the media there?
Oh, not at all.
So yeah, it just kind of baffling for me there on the way they're just kind of yammering, and it's like really just, you know, I kept thinking to myself, okay, well, what are they supposed to do with them? You know, it's like,
yeah, no, I was. Sorry, trying to put that hockey lineup together. I don't know what happened. What it didn't take, but as I was checking my history, I won a dollar.
Oh, yeah? On what?
I don't know. It doesn't say.
Oh.
Or no, I earned one FanDuel point. Never mind. It was a FanDuel point.
So yeah, I was lucky enough to double my money yesterday. I bet I got in a couple multiple football leagues, and I paid $1.30 total, and I ended up winning $2.60 on the day. So that was decent. But my NASCAR fell short again. I was about 25 points short, and I thought I had a pretty good day. I think I scored like 325 points or something, so I was pretty happy with my day, but it just wasn't enough fantasy-wise to get there. And, you know, hockey, I'm not winning really squad. I, you know, it doesn't matter what I do for hockey. I'm not winning anything. So. You know, that just seems to be how my my life and my year is going to go there. So. But did you get the NASCAR thing in that I sent you? Did you put one in, or were you tied up?
I got it in, and I was in the top 50%.
Oh, so you won?
No, I was in the top 50%.
Oh,
Yeah, not the top 50. I kind of ribbed you a little bit there.
Yeah, I thought you won. I was like, ooh, at least somebody won. So.
No, I mean, you know, I was 4,111 out of 9,580. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I was a little ahead of you. I think I was in the 3,000s or something like that. So.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah, still not enough to win anything.
No. I mean, you had to have 325 points, it looks like.
Yeah, you definitely needed production. You know, like I said, I thought I had done pretty well, but yeah, it just didn't go my way. I was like, damn it. So. But yeah, well, you know, just one of those things that I happen to have to deal with. But that's okay. It was just 25 cents. It's not too bad of a deal. So, but I did, fantasy-wise, I actually, I finally got a win in basketball. I had a winning week in basketball. I won 9-3 and then got myself over 500. So I'm trying to catch up to you.
My phone's a little low. Last week, I think I lost my first week.
Ah.
4-7. So a little disappointing. Now I'm still in first. Or no, I'm in third. Which somehow you and I ended up in the same division, even though I redid them. So.
That's okay. We haven't been in the same division in a while, so we'll see. You know,
yeah, I usually try to switch that up so that we're at least not in the same one. But maybe when they entered that manager list team, plus we had several new ones come in. So. You know, it's bad when the manager list team is in 11th place.
Yeah. I had one of those fearful things where I think I lost to one of the dead teams. And it was just like, wait, what's going on here? But yeah, and then, you know, even fantasy hockey wise, I improved. I didn't win, but I didn't lose. I actually tied. I was 7-7, which is a gigantic improvement for me, and it actually moved me up a place. I'm actually up into 16th now. So look out, here I come.
it could be worse for me. I could be in 20th place.
Yeah.
You're supposed to ask what place I'm in now.
Oh, okay. Well, where are you? What place are you in?
19th.
Oh, boy, we are tearing it up at hockey, aren't we? So.
I thought I had a good team, too.
You and me both. I was really happy with the way my hockey draft went. I thought, I thought I did a really good job. You know, I managed my money really well. I got two really good quality goaltenders, which is, you know, what you need in our league because you only got to play one game a week. You don't need a multitude of goalies. And I was like, okay, I'll be okay here. And, yeah, I have stunk. I know I got hit with a lot of injuries early, but, you know, that was still – I still had plenty of guys to – you know, to handle it. And yeah, that was just terrible. So, you know, and I ended up making a swap of disappointing players. I forgot who I dealt off, but I took Milan Lucic, who had been struggling. He went to Calgary, and I'm just hoping. Maybe things will pick up for me, or maybe the nice little swap helped me. But I was just kind of like, we'll see.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. Like, I had about four or five players that were kind of on the iffy mark, who I put on waivers. I don't know if you would consider that a move or not, but I did
yeah,
that,
it's considered-
and I picked up. Oh, okay. I was just making sure because, however many moves we have is not enough, apparently. But, I went and picked up guys who I thought were in a better position and better players than the guys I had were. And it still really hasn't, worked out in my favor. And I'd love to tell you, like, my goaltenders are the issue, but, just like last week, I had four starts. He did two. He had two wins. I had one. The save percentage was bigger, and I'm like, it was a matter of, 12 goals. Fair shot.
Yeah, I'm not sure, what my problem is anymore with this team. I mean, I'm actually to the point where I'm thinking I may have overanalyzed it, and I may just need to kind of just change the lineup for a couple weeks and let the guys play, and kind of see how that goes. I'm struggling in, the one category, which is shorthanded points, but that's okay. That's understandable. It's not a huge category. But apparently I don't have guys who like to shoot because I'm having trouble with shots on goal. And then I haven't won hits at all, and blocks I'm getting killed in. So apparently I don't have a very physical team.
Well, here's one of the weird things. I dropped some of my – I worked it out, so my faceoffs won. This last week weren't that off. I lost by 15. And or the guy I was up against, he lost a faceoff for every win he had. Power play points, he had 7, I had 6. It's like such, maybe if there were more categories available like there is in baseball, but I don't know. It's like the thing that sucks the most is I've done improvements to my team. So, when you actually look at the scores, even though I'm in 19th place, I'm losing, but I'm not losing by much. So it's just like, what am I supposed to adjust when my numbers are right there? The next stop will be
Oak Forest. Yeah, that's kind of how I feel. I'm improving. So, I don't want to panic. I'm hoping maybe I can go out and have another good week this week, and move myself up a little more. Now that I'm getting healthy, I'm hoping, that kind of works out for me. But yeah, it's just been such an odd year. Cause man, I was so pumped coming in going cool. The draft really went the way I wanted it to. I had planned it out. I wanted two top number one goalies, and I was able to, spend the money and do that. The other guy I really wanted was Johnny Gaudreau. I thought he was going to have a really good year. And I was able to land him. I stumbled into some other guys, and I've got some really, some really young guys and some really top quality players. And just right now, it just hasn't came together for me, and I'm just kind of hoping, hey, okay, let's see what goes on.
Yeah, well, I'm on a 4-week losing streak, so.
Oh yeah, I haven't won a week. The best I did was tie. So, I just got to kind of hope that was it. But, yeah, it's been a tad frustrating because, especially now that I'm paying more attention, it's like, wait, what's going on? Why isn't this team doing better? But, luckily it's very early. We're only on, week six. So there's a long, long way to go. And if I put it together, maybe things will work out for me. So, I wanted to see who the best team in our league is. And, 550. Oh, there's two of them there. Oh, wow. Okay. Looks like the best team is Hockey is the Bestest. There you go. As of right now, it is the king. Just not go. Long, long, long way to go. It'll be okay. That's the plan.
Here we got 20 weeks left? 19 weeks?
Yeah, probably, something like that. So, I'm not too, trying not to be too concerned. I think that was my problem early, is I was just kind of overmanaging. It was just like, just relax. It's early. Take a breath here and don't panic.
Yeah. Well, like I told you, we're in 20 teams this year again. But we've actually, I think compared to all of our other fantasy leagues, this is probably the most active one that we have. Because I noticed over the last two seasons, it's become really hard to be in this league. Like, these are all guys that actually are into hockey.
Well, that's good, And, I think with hockey, when you do this, football or football and baseball especially, you get the guys who just kind of want to draft, and then they disappear. So, and it's like, oh, okay, here we go. But with hockey, if you get a guy, he's probably a little more serious about the sport, and, they want to win like we want to win.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. It was Rookie of the Year voting today here, Dan. And I think you and I knew all along who were going to win these awards. the finalists in the American League, stupidly, were Yordan Alvarez, John Means, and Brandon Lowe. Yes, you heard that correctly. Alvarez swept. He was a unanimous pick for Rookie of the Year. John Means finished second, and a distant second. Brandon Lowe finished even a distanter third. But here you go, Dan. My big bitch was there was no Eloy Jimenez. He finished fourth. Kevin Biggio was fifth. Luis Arraez was sixth. Vlad Jr. was seventh. And Oscar Mercado came in eighth. So, that's where they were. The National League, again, absolutely no surprise here. The finalists were, God, I'm trying to remember who they were. Pete Alonso. Were there any? Oh, yeah. Mike Soroka. And there was a third guy. I know there was a third guy, Dan. Who was the third guy?
I don't remember. Does it matter anymore?
I don't remember either. They don't have the vote posted up yet, but Alonso won. You know, no surprise there either. They don't have his vote totals yet. I'm looking here, and it'd be great if they would have, you know, kept up to date with this. But of no surprise that they did. So yeah, there you go. Pete Alonso and Yordan Alvarez as your rookie of the year. So I'm guessing you're not shocked or surprised by this at all, right?
No.
So, you know, and it is now the Jackie Robinson Rookie of the Year, right? That's what it is now. Here you go. I found it, Dan. I just had to hunt a little. Believe it or not, Alonso got 29 of 30 first place votes. So we almost had unanimous guys in each selection. Mike Soroka, the Braves, got the other first-place vote. Fernando Tatis was the nominee I couldn't remember, and you'd think I would have remembered him because he did so well for Mr. Fantasy and I in our Money League team until he got hurt. Brian Reynolds of the Padres finished fourth. Daniel Hudson rolled in fifth, and Victor Robles of the Nationals came home sixth. So... you know, and I know you're wondering, like I'm wondering, Dan, who was the one guy who didn't vote for Alonso? That gentleman was Andrew Baggerly of The Athletic. He votes out of San Francisco.
Who did he vote for?
There you go. He voted for Soroka first and Alonso second. But yeah, everybody else had Alonso number one on their ballot. So, you know, but yeah, not a surprise at all. And I find it humorous that they pointed out the fact that, like in the article here, that it says Yordan Alvarez only needs 87 games to unanimously win Jackie Robinson Rookie of the Year. I think that should kind of be looked at right there, don't you? I mean, that seems like a problem when you're rewarding a guy for having a good, you know, half of a season instead of guys who have, you know, played the entire year. But, you know, that's what we get.
Well, isn't that where, you know, we talked about some time ago about Major League Baseball just doing half rewards? First half,
yeah, I don't know
half.
What they should. All I know is I'm just not happy at all with this. So.
Well, no, I mean, you know, we had talked about that, and you're like, well, that'll never happen. I was like, yeah, but, you know, maybe it would make things better when you actually have a guy win, you know, for half the season. You know, the All-Star game week, however you put it, could be, you know, part of it, an award ceremony for the first half of the year.
Yeah, but then they have to make sure the All-Star game was played and most teams had 81 games in.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
double headers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, it's really that difficult to put it more in the middle. They make it seem like this is rocket science. Scheduling.
Well, it is.
They have analytics to find out how well a batter performs and 3-2 with one man on second. Can't tell me they can't figure out how to move the All-Star break. That's where this
game is. Oh, no, they could have. You know, what I find even more interesting about this, not only the fact that Alonso got every first place vote, But, Dan, you have to explain this to me. What did I miss on John Means that he got 16 second-place votes? Was he that good that I wasn't paying attention to this guy? I mean, I get it. He's an Oriole, but even one of the local Baltimore writers didn't have him in his top three.
I'm trying to figure it out because he played well against the Yankees.
Yeah, I don't know. He played well against somebody to garner half of the second place votes, and I just I just don't understand how you have him or Brandon Lowe ahead of Jimenez or even Vlad Jr., who played 25 games or whatever compared to these guys playing. You know, I think Means pitched in 31, and Lau missed half the season because he was injured and still finished third. So, yeah, I don't understand, either of the first two finishers here. There's no way Alvarez is a unanimous choice. You know, he didn't have that good of a year. He can't even say, well, he hit all the home runs. Yeah, well, so did Jimenez.
Thank you.
You know, Jimenez did more. He drove in more. He played more. I don't know what other consideration you have to make for this guy. It's just, they get hung up on him. This guy is the MVP or the Rookie of the Year after the week, and there you go. He's the Rookie of the Year, hands down. No other options. Yeah. Oh well. We get. No. Go ahead and finish up because I'll talk about.
I'm trying to think of any kind of solution, but I don't know. I mean, the fact that it seems like all the voters are influenced by, basically the MLB Network and to who and how to vote for. Or are they influenced by MLB Network and whatever comes out of the Athletic?
Brian Kenny.
Yeah, well, because the Athletic is the first pay for news or, pay for sports news service, which I'm like, I'm really not interested in reading that article that bad where I'm going to pay a monthly subscription.
If it was cheap, I would get it, but my guess is it's probably pretty expensive.
Well, I don't remember what it was, but I think it almost aligns with being a member of ESPN's thing, Insiders or whatever you call it. And, I mean, if you're going to pay for something, you might as well pay for them.
Yeah, well, I looked into that when I first came out, and they were highly expensive. I was like, whoa, not jumping on that bandwagon. So.
Yeah, but I mean, if you were to jump in on paying for the ESPN stuff, at least you can get those extra channels and you could watch some more obscure sports. Like, I don't know what, but I don't know. It just seems like you would get a whole lot more. If The Athletic was writing pieces that I really wanted to read, but doing media, giving me a show of just, the recaps of all the games, as opposed to
why don't you get the free trial? We're advertising a free trial right now. And tell us what you think. So yeah, but while Dan is, I think Dan goes on break here, so we will move move along here. Now, tomorrow we have the Manager of the Year finalists. I think it's going to end up being Aaron Boone in the American League. I heard somebody make a pretty good case for Kevin Cash, but I just don't buy it. I think that Boone is the right choice. I know they tried to point out that the Rays had almost as many injuries as the Yankees, but I think the Yankees set a record for putting guys on like the IL or something. So obviously they didn't have that much. The Rays have always basically been in the situation Cash was in, where they're moving guys in and out and they're, swapping players and rosters and, they're doing it on the DL basically, where the Yankees are high profile. But when these high profile guys started going down, they started doing it with, guys like Gio Urshela, who was a big contributor. Don't forget Mike Tauschman. They were doing it with kind of cast off guys, not to mention the signing of DJ LeMahieu, which apparently everybody hated, which I'll talk about forever because they were just incredibly stupid. So I just think Boone did a better job than Cash. Not that Cash did a bad job, but Boone is definitely the choice there. Rocco Baldelli is the third guy, so kind of enjoy your third place finish, Rocco, and see if the Twins can come back. National League wise, I think this one is a little more interesting. It's Brian Snitker of the Braves who won it last year, so I don't think he wins it this year. Craig Counsell of the Brewers and Mike Schilt of the Cardinals are the other two candidates here. I found it interesting that I saw a big push for Counsell, and it looks like he's going to be the favorite to win going in here, even though Schilt's team finished ahead of them in the standings. So I don't know how that kind of worked out. They seem to be pushing everything for Counsell on the one run the Brewers made, where they ended up winning 21 of their final 28, which is a fantastic run, but they still couldn't catch the Cardinals in the standings. So I don't know how that makes a lot of sense. I get that they had a really nice run, but you finished behind this other manager who's nominated. I really think that gives Schilt a big advantage because, there's not a whole bunch of difference talent-wise in these teams. And then you add in the fact that the Cardinals lost their closer midseason, while the Brewers had their guy the entire year. So, they had to overcome that. I know the Brewers shuffled a bunch of pitchers, but that was by choice. It wasn't by injury or, anything kind of like that. So I don't think Counsell gets any credit for more or less mismanaging a pitching staff. He's the guy who made the choice to leave the starter out there for four innings. Nobody else made that decision for him. But now they want to give him credit for juggling a pitching staff. But again, he juggled it by choice. So I don't know how he deserves credit for any of that. But yeah, watching MLB today, and they seem to think he's going to win, so he'll probably win.
Well, the other side of that too, with the way the new system is going, how valid is a Manager of the Year award now?
Yeah.
give David Roberts that. Shouldn't you give it to the front office? I'm not saying he's getting it. I'm just.
Well, and we all know in the National League, this is a gigantic fiasco anyways, because this should be Davey Martinez's award.
Oh, yeah.
I don't understand how he didn't make the final three or win the award. How did Snitker get nominated when the Braves finished first last year, they finished first this year, and they only ended up getting like 6 or 7 more wins. So he got nominated for him improving his team by 7 wins. And that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Where the hell is Davey Martinez, who, you know, like we talked about, brought this team back from the brought the Nationals back from the brink of disaster? And I get the playoffs don't count, but he got them to a freaking wild card game. So, yeah.
Well, not only that, I mean, when were we talking about? There was that time when, not us, but the media had ruled them out completely. You know.
Right. June.
And not that, was it June? I thought it was kind of early.
Yeah.
I mean, that technically that is early. You know, and you asked me, we went over and we're like, is this team really done? And you're like, it's too early to begin with. And with the pitching staff they have, how could you say they're done in June? You know, that's like the Cubs were done because they were a half game out of first because they lost to the Brewers on one weekend. Granted, they were done at a different point for different reasons, but you can't rule a team out in June unless you're 0-45 already.
No, well, you know, and to be fair, I did have him fired. I thought they needed to make a change. So, you know, I mean, I know I'm not the only one, but I'll be the only one who will admit it, that I actually said he should be fired. You know, nobody else is going to come back on their show or the MLB Network or any of that and say they said it. But I'm not afraid to admit that. I had him gone. I thought it was time for them to make a change and try to save the season. And they, you know, luckily they didn't listen to me. So... But, yeah, I just don't understand. You know, again, you get to this thing of what the hell were they looking for when they were voting? You know, because it's done, you know, it's done at the end of the regular season. The only thing I could think of is it was one of these things where they turned in their ballot too early and it cost Martinez votes because maybe the Nationals weren't in wild card contention when this guy turned his ballot in.
Yeah, that is true.
So, you know, that's you know, kind of the only thing that makes sense to me on how he didn't get in here. I don't understand that at all.
You know, it would be much better if they instituted a vote day for the writers.
Yeah. So, you know, what, you know, in reality, what it should be is, you know, they should have, you know, at the end of the regular season should be the day that, you know, they, all the votes get put in. You know, you shouldn't be able to turn them in earlier. You say, here, it's this day, or, you know, maybe the last day of the regular season and then the day after, give the guys a day because, you know, we know a lot of these guys are idiots and couldn't figure out how to turn stuff in. So... But yeah, it's got to be cleaned up here because, you know, I mean, a couple years ago, early voting cost Justin Verlander the Cy Young, and now apparently it cost Davey Martinez the Manager of the Year award because you can't tell me that any of these three guys deserve it over him. So. All right, Dan. I'm gonna give you three players here, and apparently one of these guys is going to be traded this off season. I want you to give them to me in order. The guy you think is gonna be the first guy you think is gonna be traded, you know, and then second and third. Who's the best bet? And then second and third. All right, you ready?
Sure.
All right. It's Chris Bryant of the Cubs here. Francisco Lindor of the Indians, and Mookie Betts of the Red Sox. All reports are that it looks like one of these guys, maybe more, will go because of their salaries and where their teams sit. You know, as we know, the Red Sox want to get under the luxury cap. The Cubs are right there, borderline luxury cap as well. And the Indians are cutting payroll. So who's your best bet to go here out of those three?
As much as I think payroll needs wants to be cut by the front office, I think the safest one I'm going with is Lindor.
Yeah. Who's your
Well, I just wanted to follow up with that because you put in interestingly I think that the backlash. I don't want to say the backlash. I think the Indians care less about their fans' opinions than maybe the Cubs or the Red Sox do, as harsh as that sounds. We should ask Chris Rhodes what he thinks about that. But, no, next, I really think that it would be Xander Bogaerts and then Chris Bryant. Well, I don't
you mean
see,
Mookie
honestly,
Betts?
I don't see Chris Mookie Betts, yeah. I don't see the Cubs or Theo trading Chris Bryant this offseason.
Yeah, I don't buy it either. So
trade deadline, I think that's a more likely possibility, but not in the offseason.
So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it kind of shakes out and what goes down. But yeah, apparently those seem to be the three big names that are speculated about the most. You know, we know the Red Sox has come out and basically said that they want to be under the salary cap. You know, once Martinez opted in, you know, there was no way, you know, the likely choice would be Betts to go. So we'll see how that works out. I haven't really heard much about the Cubs wanting to move Bryant. It just seems to be this story that kind of keeps popping up, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, and you know, it's funny because Cubs-centric bloggers keep bringing this crap up, you know, Bryant and – and that's the thing that kind of kills me, too, is you've got – because, you know, when it comes to the bloggers, they're a little bit more fan-based than objectively-based. So it kind of surprises me when I keep seeing these things come up with them. So it interests me that everybody who's free agent or a possible trade offer – are going to the south side. So I don't know what's going on in Chicago. I don't get it. I don't know if everyone's just giving up on the Cubs and wanting to see the Sox do everything. You know, I don't know what it is, to be honest with you.
Yeah, the Lindor thing, you know, there were some rumors at the trade deadline that it was possible the Indians would look to move him. You know, I think he got 1 year or 2 years left to arbitration. So he, you know, he's another one of those guys who, you know, they're not going to want to pay him, they want to get something for him before they lose him. So, you know, we'll have to see how that shuffles out. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you put a time clock on these guys, I think Lindor's got the shortest one.
Yeah. You know, and then I found this story kind of interesting because you and I have actually discussed this quite a bit. You know, they're saying that the Angels hope to add two starting pitchers this offseason. Now, you like I said, you and I have went over this a couple times. But the interesting twist of this story, it appears that if they do decide to add two instead of one, they'll stay away from Gerrit Cole, because of the money.
Well, okay, so when you threw that out there, my eyes lit up. They're going to go after two pitchers. My eyes lit up. Everything lit up. I'm like, man, we're going to see a maybe a contending Angels team. And then you threw in that last part about Garrett Cole, and I just if that was the headline and that was the first two sentences that I read, I would have clicked out of that article. Especially if I was an Angels fan.
It's actually the last it's the last paragraph of the article. So
of course.
Yeah. You know, because they're saying that they
excitement.
Yeah, you know, they expect Cole to get over $30 million a season, but you know, the Angels are already tied up with $115 million for just five players next year. So, you know, I think they're looking to, you know, if they're going to add two, you know, they're going to try to add, you know, two of the, you know, I don't know, lower tier guys. You know, maybe they add like a Wheeler or a Bumgarner or a Keuchel and then add another guy on top of that.
Yeah.
Which wouldn't be terrible, but, you know.
You know, when I heard two, I thought they were going all in on Garrett Cole or someone else. But, I mean, even if they went Wheeler and Bumgarner, if they were able to land that somehow. But, you know, the problem with the Angels is that Pujols contract. I don't care what you do.
Yeah.
The only way you're getting rid of him is in 2023 All-Star break.
Yeah, they're going to have to ride that one out. And then the Justin Upton contract isn't great either. So,
no,
you
was
know,
that, 5 years?
Yeah, something like that.
And I think they're only on, this will be the third year. So
this is the second year of that contract.
Oh, that's only the second year. Jeez.
Yeah, they signed it last year, so it's the second year. But, it makes me a little more interesting to see what the Angels are going to do this offseason. Because I just thought, you know, it was going to be one of those things where they were going to throw all the money at Cole and just kind of go from there.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, maybe, you know, maybe it'll be a little different and a little more kind of like, hey, you know, what's this team actually doing?
Well, doesn't it kind of validate what we've been saying about them the whole time, though?
What, they needed two starters?
Pitchers.
Yeah. Yeah, we, you know. You know, and the sad part is they may need two pitchers and a healthy Shohei Ohtani in the rotation. Two starters might not even be enough. So, you know, because, I mean, you know, it maybe, you know, there's just so many maybes. You know, maybe if Andrew Heaney stays healthy, you know, maybe one of their younger guys work out. It's two guys and a bunch of maybes.
Yeah. Well, you know, and you, for their sake, you're hoping that, you know, Heaney's doesn't take as long as, say, Steven Strasburg did.
Yeah.
You know, because this was
so,
the best,
you know,
season
it,
I've ever seen it perform, so.
Yeah. So,
and
it, it'll be, I mean, it'll be fun to see what they, yeah, well, who isn't, you know. I mean, it'll be fun to see who does what now, that kind of perform. Now we'll be back tomorrow at 5:30. One more time for the deal. Smoothpowerdeal.com. Go ahead and click on the blog page there. Catch up on the blog page. While you're there, hit the link. Follow me on the Facebook page. Hey, you can go to smoothpowerdeal.com. Don't forget to share this video with the App Store Time Radio. Keep a look at the blog page. And again, if you want to go ahead and do a blog, thank you for doing that. We appreciate it. Remember, the podcast is available for you to listen to whatever you want at smoothpowerdeal.com.
SportsTimeRadio.com.